Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
A hostage video isn't just a communication, it's a weapon. It's designed to provoke, to manipulate, to pressure governments and societies into action or into paralysis. The recent release of another video, or in fact two videos, from Hamas featuring Israeli hostages has again raised urgent questions. How should a democratic government respond? Is silence strength? And what role does the media play? To help us unpack this from a military, psychological, and a geopolitical lens, I'm joined by Major Andrew Fox. He's a former British Army officer, and he's been on the front lines, both literal and moral, and brings a military perspective to conflicts that divide the world. Major Fox, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you are well. What was your first reaction to the videos recently released?
Hi, morning. Well, I think it was the same as anyone who has any kind of shred of human empathy or compassion. It's the same as going into Gaza during the war, or it's the same as seeing the images that everyone else has seen. It's your first instinct is always human, and that horror is natural, which is of course the entire point of Hamas releasing these videos.
Let's just talk about before we even talk about the government, your experience in conflict zones. What's the strategic purpose behind these videos?
So I think Hamas are psychological masters of this battlefield. They're first of all exploiting the fact that Western leaders have taken actions that absolutely benefit Hamas. They're taking advantage of the fact that they have clearly won the information battlefield. And if this was a physical battlefield, the lines would be breached and they'd be dominating. The area. This is exactly what's happened on the information space. They're driving home the point that they can do or say pretty much anything they want, and yet certain elements of the West will still support them. And that's a really powerful message. And then the third one, is of course a deliberate attack on Israeli psychology. It's attempting to fracture Israeli public support for the war, and get them to support a ceasefire over the war continuing.
What bothered me was the fact that this should have been such a strategic risk for Hamas, because it really could have turned the goodwill away from them, and yet it didn't, and I'm assuming they knew it wouldn't. That, to me, was so problematic.
Look, we've seen this before with the hostage release debacles, where they paraded the hostages around in front of a baying crowd. They even returned Israeli children in coffins, and the world didn't wake up to the evil that they've been cheering on for the last 2 months, whatever it is now. It's astonishing. Those some of those hostage videos, footage from that, didn't even make the front page of the paper, and yet Gazan children with genetic diseases paraded as starvation did. So it's a real double standard. And I think in many ways Hamas is driving that point home. They're saying, look, there's nothing we can do that's evil enough that you won't support us. It's insane. It really is crazy, but such is the world we live in, unfortunately.
Which is just so worrying. Has the UK government officially responded to these videos?
No, even worse. The UK government have sort of quietly released a memorandum of understanding with the states to be of Palestine, stating the UK's commitments to 1967 borders and all sorts of other stuff, which completely sidelines Israel. So the UK government, frankly, either don't care or won't care. But either way, it's not particularly encouraging as a Brit. Frankly, I'm extremely ashamed of my government right now.
Do you think there's any recognition about how they have been played, or how poorly they have played this?
No, I think they're entirely happy with how it's going, quite frankly. I genuinely think the Labour Party run the UK. They were run by Jeremy Corbyn until relatively recently. It's very clear that the Labour Party is the same old anti-Semitic Labour Party under Keir Starmer as it was under Jeremy Corbyn, and that's just that.
What would your advice be to the Israeli government, and especially in relation to the behavior and the choices made by the UK Parliament in dealing with hostage situations like this, dealing with the media, and dealing with the approach?
Well, that's a tricky one. I mean, it's a huge problem. We could probably talk about this for half an hour, but I think that the bottom line at the moment for the Israeli government is that it is becoming strategically very dangerous for Israel.
Very.
They're losing world support even more than they ever have before. Whether that's fair or not, it doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, that is just the case. And Israel is reliant on a certain degree of international goodwill, particularly in the United States. They're the veto on the UN Security Council that kind of keeps Israel safe. And support for the war is now at 32% in the USA, according to the most recent Gallup polls. So I think Israel urgently needs to address that PR crisis, because it could be an existential threat 5, 10, 20 years down the line,
There's no doubt.
when these young people who are seeing this, who are horrified, who are now hating Israel because of this information campaign, when they're the people holding the reins of policy, that could be really dangerous. And Israel could very easily find itself in a sanctions regime like South Africa was during apartheid. So it's a dangerous time.
You took the time to go to one of the humanitarian zones in Gaza. I know that's not really the conversation that we said we'd chat about, but I am quite interested in your experience and your observations there.
Yeah, look, it was a fascinating opportunity that I had to take. I couldn't say no when I was offered the chance to go there. It was chaos. The GHF themselves are doing really amazing work. They're all former US military. They all really care. I saw some really touching scenes of the way they were interacting with the women and the children and the elderly to make sure they were taken care of. But look, the bottom line is, if your humanitarian plan involves live fire to do crowd control, it's probably not a very good humanitarian plan. And that's the real issue, is that Gazans have to trek for miles to get to these sites. The IDF are keeping them on track using live rounds, and that is not only giving Hamas an opportunity to kind of create tension and panic, but also for mistakes to happen, and that has happened, unfortunately. And that plan just needs expanding. It just needs to be taken out into the wider sort of area of Gaza and make sure people get fed, because four sites isn't enough. 400 sites was what was there under the previous system. But we know that of that UN system, 85% of it was getting hijacked. 0% of GHS is getting hijacked. So if the answer's there, it just needs to be expanded and refined slightly to make sure people don't have to, put themselves in risk of harm's way to go and get fed.
Do you get coverage? And I mean, and I don't mean by people like myself, and those that follow you, but I would have imagined that here's a UK citizen, somebody who knows what he's talking about, certainly done the time, as I said earlier, in the front lines. Surely the UK publications and papers should be interviewing you and hearing firsthand what it is that you've experienced. Has there been any coverage on your observations in UK press?
Not in the UK. I mean, I've had some from some of the smaller media stations, but the BBC and Sky News have their agenda. They're not interested in hearing what's true and what's not. They have a line to push. But in the USA, News Nation, Newsmax, Sky News Australia, so people have picked up on this. I mean, this is the 21st interview I've done since I came out of Gaza,
Incredible.
in the sixth country. So it's definitely getting some traction, but in the UK they're not remotely interested, because they've got an agenda to push, and that's that.
Which, of course, is part of the bigger problem. Finally, is the response or lack of response by the Labour Party, is it a reflection of the British public, in your view, or is it a reflection of their own prejudice and agenda?
No, I think it's two things. I think, firstly, the Labour Party is institutionally anti-Semitic. Mm, it's not changed since Jeremy Corbyn was in.
Right.
And that's that. The second thing is that they are terrified of the Muslim voter base that deserted them at the last general election. That's a lot of votes for Labour, and they need to do something to shore that vote up. Look, there's 5 or 6 million Muslims in the UK. There's 250,000 Jews. It's very, very clear which side they're going to, they're going to try and back. And as far as they're concerned, Jews in Israel can go jump. It's a very, very sad and dangerous time.
It really, really is. And that is where we leave it, Major Andrew Fox. Thank you, as always, for the work that you do and for the time you take to talk about things that are true.